All right then, so hello internet and welcome to the Level Up Podcast, episode number 68. With me, Dan Hobbs, all on my own this week. Everyone else is at work, so I thought I'd put on my new fancy Xbox Live headset. And do some news and releases, means I haven't really been playing anything either. Okay, so, what's coming out this week? Nothing. Yes, you heard me correctly. Absolutely nothing. Absolutely nothing. Well, you've got Test Drive Unlimited 2 coming out on all the platforms Friday. Or you've got a choice. The only real choice of downloadable games is Stacking from Tim Schafer's studio. Double Fine, you know, Psychonauts and Brutal Legend, and most recently Costume Quest, they're bringing out Stacking, which is again about small Russian dolls. Very strange. So we'll think pick of the week, I suppose, will have to be that, because there's nothing else and Test Drive's not so good. Next week, however, next week, lots of games coming out next week, so next week we'll have fun. Okay. No, there has been a lot of news, however. Mostly through some sort of 3DS, NGP, which you talked a little about last week, and PS3 stuff. But the best story of the week, actually two best stories of the week, have got to be this first one. Mother blames Microsoft for kids' 1,000 Xbox Live spending spree. So, basically, this single mum, Dawn Matthews, hit out at Microsoft after learning her 11-year-old son had spent over £1,000 downloading content from Xbox Live using her debit card. According to the Daily Mail, the greatest paper in the world, obviously, little tiny 11-year-old Brendan racked up £1,082.52 on a debit card over a six-month period, after she'd used the card to purchase Xbox Live Gold. His mum said the bank and Microsoft are blaming each other and no one is helping her. It takes ages to publicly get rid of the card deals on the website. It was only when I made a complaint that I took all the details off. Brendan is 11. This is a quote. Brendan is 11 and knows his times tables, but it was only when I explained to him that he realised how much money he had spent. When I showed him, he burst into tears, unplugged the Xbox, said he didn't want to play it anymore. These companies should take some responsibility if they take advantage of vulnerable people. I'm calling bullshit on this one. Over a six-month period, this grown woman doesn't notice that £1,082 she cannot account for has gone missing from her bank account. And it doesn't take ages and ages to get your card details off of Xbox Live. It's only when she made a complaint that they took all the details off. That's because you made a complaint about them. They're going to do that anyway. Also, why are you buying your 11-year-old son Xbox Live? Do you see where I'm coming from, people? It's not. She's crazy, I think. And she's only just taken this paper to get some exposure and try and get her £1,000 back. That's all she's doing, is trying to get her money back. Microsoft replied with, the nature is extremely rare, or common amongst extremely stupid people. Microsoft's goal is to provide parents and caregivers with tools and resources to manage their children's gaming, entertainment, and experiences, so they can play in ways that are safer, healthy, more balanced. Don't get 11-year-old Xbox Live, because they will get racially sworn at, basically. They're built-in comparing controls and blah, 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 you know, the normal marketing spiel. The interesting bit at the end is it should also be noted that live accounts registered for children's use have online activity automatically defaulted to off. So it basically comes out to Microsoft going, look, we have the stuff. If you can't be bothered to learn what your kids are doing and what they're doing it with, it's your own fucking fault, love. And just at the bottom of the article on CVG, just put, Xbox Live generated over 1 billion in revenues last year. You know, it's fair to say that this one's a bit thick, to say the least. That she can't just, like, you know, control her kid and notice that £1,000 has gone missing from her bank account over a 6 month period. That's just fucking stupid. Alright, the next one is just another quote. Video games to blame for rape increase. Tagline: TV psychologists make outrageous claim. Prepare to get pretty annoyed, says the tagline. The quite incredible claim that video games are somehow to blame for an increase in rape has been proffered by a prominent US TV psychologist and author. Carol Lieberman told Fox News Interactive Carol Lieberman told Fox News that Interactive Entertainment was in large part directly responsible for a recent surge in sexual violence. The sexual rapes... this is quite funny, really. The increase in rapes... I know, I shouldn't be laughing about rape. The increases in rapes can be attributed to large parts of playing out sexual scenes in video games, as she is quoted as saying, without offering a droplet of evidence whatsoever. Her shock claim arrives in a new Fox... Her shock claim arrives in a Fox News piece examining the mature themes. People Can Fly's upcoming and pretty reasonably awesome, by the way, first-person shooter title, Bulletstorm. Its title is Bulletstorm, the worst video game in the world. And Fox News claims that the worst part of Bulletstorm, also possibly the worst game, remember, is in-game rewards and some skill shots. Blah, 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 blah. Ties the ugly graphic violence into explicit sex acts, where topless means cutting the player in half while a gangbang kings can eat multiple enemies. And it, apparently, if we go to foxnews.com, kids as young as 9 are playing such games. And, the violence is reaching a fever pitch, apparently. If a younger kid experiences Bulletstorm's explicit language and violence, the damage could be significant. Violent video games like Bulletstorm have the potential to send a message to violence and insults and sexual innuendos of the way that people handle disputes and problems. Ah. Okay, but some games will not close... some such claims will not come close to upsetting gamers as much as the shocking assumptions of Carol Lieberman. Who is she? She wrote the self-help books called Bad Boys and Why We Love Them, How to Live... Bad Boys, Why We Love Them, How to Live With Them and When to Leave Them, and Bad Girls, Why Men Love Them and How Good Girls Can Learn Their Secrets. Her website claims that everyone from Oprah to Larry King to Katie Couric to Bill O'Reilly think of Dr. Carol when they need a house call. She's been on the BBC, CNN, Today Show, Good Morning America, amongst others, and won 3 Emmys. She has her own extraordinary tagline, the doctor who helps you one stay in... the doctor who helps you stay sane in an insane world. Oof, that is, a massive load of bullshit. It's good, isn't it? That every couple of months you always get, oh yeah, by the way, we did Paranormal Armor a few weeks ago on the level up. And it's always every couple of months you always get some news outlet going, video games are bad, rape, murder, pillaging, you know. EA has responded to this. Saying, as you know, Bulletstorm is a work of entertainment and fiction that takes place in the 26th century on the abandoned fictitious paradise planet Stygia, where our heroes fight mutants, monsters, flesh-eating plants, and gigantic dinosaurs. People can Fly, Epic, and EA have had supporters of the ESA and believe that Electronic Software Ratings Board, which is the ESRB in America, it's a rating system, we believe in combined by the policies in place by put in them. But it's almost rated M for mature, full blood and gore, intense violence, partial nudity, sexual themes, strong language, and use of alcohol. Yeah, that's pretty intense. The game and its marketing all adhere to people 17 plus, so the game is never marketed to children. Epic People Can Fly and EA support the rights of artists to create works of entertainment fiction for consumers of all ages, including adults who enjoy action adventures like Bulletstorm, much like Tarantino's Kill Bill or Rodriguez's Sin City. This game is an expression of creative entertainment for adults. Pretty well put, to be honest, isn't it? Most of the other news, really, this week has been like about the 3DS. This morning, Wednesday, Conduit developers High Voltage are extremely surprised by the 3DS's power, saying it's more powerful than the Wii. Doesn't surprise me because the Wii's a GameCube. What is it? Ocarina of Time 3DS, almost done. And the 3DS price apparently going down to $179 in the UK. It was originally listed by Shop 2 as $200 on the dot. To much speculation, it was $250, but Tesco are offering the lowest price at £197. We're going to get that until the end of tomorrow. If you want to get the pre-order price from your handheld, you have to go to vouchercodes.co.uk, and then you can get £20 off that. But it offer runs out on February 10th. They also announced their proper launch lineup for the 3DS when it comes out over here. Let me find it. Okay, so you got Pilot Wings, Super Street Fighter 3D, or Super Street Fighter 4 3D, I should say. Pro Evolution Soccer 2011 3D, Super Monkey Ball, and Splinter Cell. All coming out on the 25th of March. Okay, those are the big ones. The full list, you've got Pilot Wings Resort, Nintendogs Plus Cats, Golden Retriever, and New Friends. 10 Dogs Plus Cats, French Bulldog and New Friends. 10 Dogs Plus Cats, Toy Poodle and New Friends. Super Street Fighter 4 3D Edition, The Sims 3, Pro Evolution Soccer 2011 3D, Pro Evolution Soccer, Lego Star Wars 3, The Clone Wars, Ridge Racer 3D, Super Monkey Ball 3D, Samurai Warriors Chronicles, Asphalt 3D, Tom Clancy's Ghost Recon, Shadow Wars, Tom Clancy's Splinter Cell 3D, and Rayman 3D. Nothing to get excited about from Pilot Wings, but I have that round here somewhere on the Super NES. So, I'm still having a humming and hawing about the whole 3DS, NGP, PSP, whatever you want to call the things. I don't really know what to do about getting one or not getting one or. More news of the PS3's jailbreaking, where Kevin Butler accidentally promoted the jailbreak code over his Twitter. Somebody tweeted him at. So there's a code you have to input to something with the hacking of the PS3. You input the code and it does something wonderful to the PlayStation, apparently. I don't really know what it's on about. Someone tweeted that at Kevin Butler, the American sort of face for the adverts of PS3. You got YouTube, some of the videos are hilarious. They tweeted the code and went, "Come at me at Kevin Butler." And then Kevin Butler retweeted that with his own little tagline saying, "Ha ha ha ha, you sunk my battleship." Because it looks like it's like D7E92. And not realizing that the biggest voice apart from at PlayStation for the PlayStation brand just retweeted how to hack their primary console. So, well done, Kevin Butler, or as he doesn't really exist, the people behind Kevin Butler. Famitsu's come out with more Tekken Tag Tournament 2 details. Oh, I can't wait for that game. New game will feature a stage gimmick system, which, if we're being honest, sounds like an identical feature from beat 'em up since 2001. example of the system showing for Mitsu, this player slamming his opponent into a wall which breaks and the opponent goes flying, landing in a new area, the fight continues. Ooh. Apparently it just so happens that the player's partner character is waiting where the opponent lands, allowing the attack to continue for major damage. Also set for the sequels an item system similar to past Tekken games. Obviously, players will be able to customize the characters of various goods and not just for show. So items can be used for attacks such as the bat and the hammerhead weapons. Characters shown in the preview include Kazuyu Mishima, Bob, Ling Hiao, and Zafina. Tekken head, Hirado has confirmed that every player will take in six characters playing for Tag 2. Very excited. I did love me some Tekken Tag Tournament 1 on the PS2 when it came out. Even though I managed to probably pick up like a couple of years after it came out. It was still sodden awesome. We want some iPad news? No one cares about the iPad news. More PlayStation news. Laid upon us. Sony has finally revealed the PlayStation phone. Showed up during the Super Bowl and they were like, yeah. And then we're going to finally... During the Super Bowl, they were like, yes, this is the thing. Look, this is the thing. But we're not going to announce it until later. And now the UK release date has just appeared. It will arrive in April, according to network providers Orange and T-Mobile. Both companies gone today to record that the phone will hit store shelves in the month. News broken by tech site Pocket Lint comes as O2 and Vodafone confirm they will be stocking the handset. Although UK operator 3 is yet to commit to the Xperia Play, did tell the site is very excited about Sony's announcement. The phone is a Sony Ericsson phone. Yet to see what the software looks like on it. But it looks like your sort of average Android-y phone that you see these days. But then you slide up and it's got a D-pad, a start and select button, and then the Sony button combo. But I think it runs off generally like an Android sort of system, but as was announced last week with the NGP, Sony is bringing its PlayStation Suite to Android phones. So I'm assuming it's going to be an Android phone with the PSP capabilities and the buttons. Apparently it's going to come out rather soon. And again, with the NGP coming out, does Sony really and PlayStation really need to do another handheld as well? Or is it just overkill? Especially when you've got Nintendo just going, look, it has a gimmick, go and buy it. You have to see it to believe it sort of thing. It'll toss up an interesting few months in the handheld space. All top EA games are 99 cents on the iPad, so on the iPhone, which means there'll be about a couple of, perhaps 150, maybe, possibly, I don't know. Or is it 79p? Wherever one it goes. I also watched a few Noir trailers this week. Very excited about that game. And finally, if you do actually disagree with me picking stacking off the top of my head for this week's pick of the week, and if you really are curious about Test Drive Unlimited 2, let's have a look at its reviews. Mercury News kicks off. No matter what kind of wheels they like, or how to No matter what kind of wheels they like or how they prefer to drive, racing games fan will find something to latch onto in Test Drive Unlimited 2. Attack of the Fanboy says he likes the racer, saying it was great. And Eurogamer gives it a 7. That's it. Not a very good week for games. But if you come back next week, we will have many things to talk about, like the last two of my games from 2010 that I haven't quite finished playing yet, Vanquish and Deadly Premonition. And Quire will be talking about some Dead Space 2, and I'm assuming Richard will be around, possibly, maybe, who knows, to talk about some Need for Speed and whatnot. Also, very, very important announcement. If you noticed last night, it was up on the Twitter sphere at Level Up Tweets. Leveluppodcast.co.uk is now going. It's there. I can go on it right now. Listen to me type leveluppodcast.co.uk. It's not quite fully finished yet, I have to admit. But there will be many things on it once it's done. So we've got you got on the top, you got podcast links to, you got links to the podcast, so it's iTunes page. You can look about us at the Level Up team, which is going to be building up with more people who work on the site. You look at last year's awards, which you gave out on a couple of episodes ago. And you also get in touch with us to leave any feedback about the show, or go look at the Around the Web, which has the Twitters and the Facebooks and everything else on it. Also look at the latest game news from everywhere around the web, our Twitter. And we are going to be having reviews and videos and all sorts going up as we get more and more partners. If you want to have stuff featured on Level Up Pod, leveluppodcast.co.uk, go there, leveluppodcast.co.uk, hit get in touch, fill out the form saying what you want to show on us and what you want to show on our website, and we'll be quite happy to do it. This is leveluppodcast.co.uk, or you can tweet at leveluptweets. We should have many new things coming to the site and the podcast over the next few weeks once I get cracking and start emailing people. We should be alright until then. Remember, leveluppodcast.co.uk, go there, check it out, and at Level Up Tweets, we'll get some conversation with the community going. That's what we want. That's what me and Quire want, is people getting, if you listen, even if it's your first episode, the last one you ever want to listen to, or it could be both, the first and last one you ever will listen to, get in touch, leveluppodcast.co.uk or Level Up Tweets, and we really want to hear from you back to know how to improve the podcast. We did get one piece of feedback last week from somebody, don't know who it was, it's not on my head brain already, saying that one of us needs to stop touching his microphone. I looked back at the show and that was Quai fiddling with his microphone like that as he had it in his hand. So I'm buying him a bloody stand. And secondly, can we put in we had a music break last week from Florino003 doing Assassin by Muse in 8-bit. People liked it. They wanted to hear the whole thing. So for this episode and future episode, when the break goes in, you'll hear the whole piece of music, or at least say 60% of it if it's a little bit too long. And it'll be well good. Be all good. Speaking of music breaks, this one comes from YouTube user McMangos at youtube.com/user. I think McMangos. If you've played Guitar Hero 3, probably one of the best songs On there. Eric Johnson, Cliffs of Dover in 8-bit. Here we go. And remember, leveluppodcast.com. Got that wrong. Leveluppodcast.co.uk now. And at Level Up Tweets for more. And we'll see you next week. Eric Johnson, kick it.